Early in the morning, the marketplace was buzzing. A plethora of workers willing the landowner to hire them. The great diversity of humanity was there, the able and the disabled, the beautiful and the ordinary, the willing and not so willing, the fit and the hirpling. And as the day wore on, the crowd was thinned out, each one eventually hired, until just before sunset, it was only the desperate that were left. And for the final time that day, the landowner arrived in the marketplace, still willing to hire. Hello, I'm Ruddy Hamilton, the Minister of New Kilpatrick Parish, and here we meet again in this worship space. And thank you for inviting us into it. We meet each other in that marketplace today, in the story of the workers in the vineyard. And in such a place, where do we stand? The first to be hired with our good CVs and breadth of experience and university degrees, or even just knowing who we know? Or are we the less able, where life's opportunities haven't been so advantageous? In this story of surprise, let us be surprised as we worship.
Loving God, landowner, and last to be hired, hear us as we gather, the broken and the well-healed, the least and the famous, and find ourselves in this story, who we are, where do we stand, what are we seeking, where are we in the line? Loving God, you disrupt our patterns, our understandings, our advantages. Your word is not easy, a two-edged sword, and we are not left the same in the hearing of it. May we explore it, and exploring, discover ourselves. May we question it, and in questioning, question ourselves. And have ears to hear. And at the end of the day, loving God, may we find the grace, know the love, hear the good news, share the light, live in the hope, and trust the promise the word contains. That we will find and know and be held by that which the world cannot give or create or offer, safe in the truth of a God who does not let us go, or slips through the net, or turns away from, no matter what we have done. In that possibility and hope, we pray. Our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory for ever. Amen.
Parable of the workers in the vineyard. Day labourers were the least of the least. They had no land to sustain them, no safety net of their own, no land to produce anything for themselves, but relied entirely on others. And for them, as Thomas Hobbes said, life was nasty, brutish and short. One denarii was a survival wage. It was the minimum for a day's work, and we'd buy the minimum for a family to eat for a day. Those who first heard this story would not necessarily have seen the landowner as God, but a land grabber. To have that amount of land meant that you have ignored the idea of Jubilee, where every 50th year everything was reset in the Hebrew community. It was in Leviticus, if you wish to explore that ancient Hebrew idea. Clearly that wasn't happening, and the landowner has taken the land of those who fell into debt in payment for that debt. And so the whole society quickly skewed in favour of the wealthy. The landowner then was manipulative, greedy, and not the figure of God we imagine him to be. Now, let's hear the parable again.
For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire labourers for his vineyard. After agreeing with the labourers for the usual daily wage, he sent them into his vineyard. When he went out about 9 o'clock, he saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and he said to them, "You also go into the vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right." So they went. When they went out again, about noon, and about 3 o'clock, he did the same. And about 5 o'clock, he went out and found others standing around, and he said to them, "Why are you standing here idle all day?" They said to him, "Because no one has hired us." He said to them, "You also go into the vineyard." When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his manager, "Call the labourers and give them their pay, beginning with the last and then going to the first." When those hired about 5 o'clock came, each of them received the usual daily wage. Now, when the first came, they thought they would receive more, but each of them also received the usual daily wage. And when they received it, they grumbled against the landowner, saying, "These last worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat." But he replied to one of them, "Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for the usual daily wage? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give to this last the same as I gave to you. And am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or are you envious because I am generous? So the last will be first, and the first will be last."
Given the choice, which would you choose, love or justice? It's a question posed by one of my go-to writers, David Lohse. Normally I'd reply both, please, or at least see justice as a subset of love. The outcome in the many conflicts of the world at the moment, love or justice? Philosophically, I suppose ultimately we'd go with love, but we'd want justice to be the immediate outcome, would we not? Or how we reconstruct our welfare system, for example, to be just or to be loving. But is that just an esoteric question only those who have the privilege of time and comfort can ask? Or does this have some real traction for us? This is a well-known and well-told parable, but hearing it through David Lohse's question, given the choice, which would you choose, love or justice, challenges us about the values with which we shape the relationships we have. If you were one of the workers chosen late in the day, you really were the worst off. No one would normally be hanging around till 5 o'clock unless they were absolutely desperate. The wage for the day was already only enough for a day's food. Their portion of that would be a few crumbs for the table. But in the great reversal, those who were last are first in line for their wages, and surprise, the least get most. Well, the same as everyone else, but in terms of hourly rate, you're a millionaire. But if you were one of those full day workers, what's your take? You still receive only enough to put food on today's table. There's no chance of saving the change from a single denarii. The initial excitement when you calculated what you'd receive after the hour-long workers got a denarii quickly transforms into anger when you get the same. Utterly unfair. And to add insult to injury, the landowner insists he has treated you fairly. You got what you were contracted for. So, how do you feel? Being the day-long labourers, what would you choose? Love or justice? Love here is seen in the generosity of the landowner to the least. But the full-day workers are due more, are they not? And that's the thing with justice. It counts and it measures and it compares. Justice is vital because it makes sure everyone has equal opportunity and treatment. But it is calculated. It is measured. The landowner's generosity is not. Where justice adds up, love loses track. Where justice quantifies, love gives abundantly. Where justice is about balance, love tips that balance, giving everything away. Given the choice, what would we choose to govern our relationships, love or justice? If they were governed by justice, we'd be counting every injury done, keeping track of what we had so everyone was equal. They'd be transactional relationships. We'd keep a note of every disappointment, every grievance handed to our child or our partner or our parent at the end of that day to compare and receive recompense. But we don't do that. Yet this is how many see heaven. St. Peter making some kind of calculation in the great book of life, with every act marked for the day of reckoning and the tally to see if we have enough good points to get in. A caricature, I know, but it contains a truth. Love or justice? Living our relationships on justice would be a living hell. It is easier to count and tally than living by grace. We all want to live by love, but we end up calling for justice, which is perhaps why Jesus tells this story. The focus is the owner, who insists everyone at the end of the day has enough food for that day. Now, obviously, God cares about justice. Half the Bible is about that, the law, the prophets, the Sermon on the Mount. But as David Loos says, in the end, justice can only make things better. It is love that saves us and makes good relationships, not just with each other, but with the world. A God who looks at us in love and overlooks our shortfalls. And our original question, which I'm not presuming to have answered, just to have poked around a bit in the light of this parable, which would you choose? Love or justice? Let me tell you another story which you'll remember deep within you, of the Hebrews in the wilderness and fell the manna down. Remember those days? Everyone hungry and complaining in the wilderness that Egypt was actually better. It wasn't, but your stomach can play indecent tricks on you when it's hungry. So the Almighty offered food enough for everyone every morning, with only one rule, if you remember what that was. Take only what you need for the day, no more and no less. And any who thought they would take more, a wee extra for the next day or a treat or for the more entrepreneurial and an early entry into the black market economy of manna, well, by morning it was rotten. It was festering and inedible. One rule, not difficult. Trust me, says God, take only what you need for the day. This story of the vineyard is what the kingdom economy might look like when the manna rules are implemented in real life. Everyone gets enough to feed their families. One denarii is what feeds a family for a day. Nothing more, nothing less. And everyone gets enough. No one left in the marketplace with nothing, and no one has greater advantage over their peers. In other words, this story explores what it might look like when no one gets left behind, and how that makes us feel towards each other. How does that make us feel? Thank you for your company again. It's always good to meet with you. We are celebrating our 375th anniversary at the moment, and we've had a concert last week, which was great fun, and just didn't take ourselves too seriously, so it was good fun. Coming up in the church on Sunday, the end of last Sunday in April, we have a yew tree communion. That's what we're calling it. I'm not going to explain any more to you, but if you're interested, then please do come along and explore that with us and see what that's like. Because the whole story about our tradition and our background and where the Reformation grew and the traditions of all of that. So that's Sunday, the last Sunday, 28th of April. And then we have a Songs of Praise, a big sing on the 19th of May in the evening, 6:30 in the church. But more about that later. Please do look at your bulletin if you want to find out what's going on. It's on the website at nkchurch.org.uk, or you can get that posted to you or by email. So it's all there for everyone, all the different activities that are happening, not just the celebratory ones, but all the typical ones, the weekly activities, where we are God's people day by day. So please do join us there if you can.
Loving God, justice or love? Both, please, but in that order. But that is less a prayer of words and more an act of the kingdom, a lifestyle choice by us, a belief choice by us, a faith choice by us, and may we choose it. May the generosity of the kingdom's way be the model for the world's way, as we pray and work towards peace and justice and love for Ukraine and Russia, Israel and Palestine, Sudan and Haiti, Iran and Yemen. We don't want to leave these there, just words and a prayer, but may they become our purpose, the reason we live towards peace and act with compassion towards each other for their sake, their future, their needs, their hope. That we transform all the relationships we have in our community and parish towards love, kindness, compassion, patience, generosity, as we hold all those beginning exams this week, those in hospital or needing care this week, those waiting for treatments or consultations, those worried about food, costs, jobs, those trapped in poverty and lack of compassion, those hungry, cold, unloved, those mentally ill, physically ill, emotionally ill, and for our families and friends. May we seek the love we are created in, and may that be our prayer. Leave the words behind and live towards each other in a relationship of promise and compassion. Loving God, justice or love, both please. So be it. Amen.
Go in peace. In the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the common life of the Holy Spirit, be with us all, evermore.